ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। अथ द्वादशोऽध्यायः। अर्जुन उवाच एवं सततयुक्ताये भक्तास्त्वां पर्युपासते ये चाप्यक्षरमो व्यक्तं तेषां के योगवित्तमाः। श्रीभगवानुवाच मय्यावेश्यमनो ये मां नित्ययुक्ता उपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेताः ते मे युक्ततमामताः। ये त्वक्षरमनिर्देश्यम् अव्यक्तं पर्युपासते सर्वत्र गमचिन्त्यं च कूटस्थमचलं ध्रुवं सन्नियम्येन्द्रियग्रामं सर्वत्र समबुद्धयः। ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहिते रताः। क्लेशोऽधिकतरस्तेषाम् अव्यक्तासक्तचेतसाम् अव्यक्ता हि गतिर्दुःखम् देहवद्भिरवाप्यते। ये तु सर्वाणि कर्माणि मयि सन्न्यस्य मत्पराः अनन्येनैव योगेन मां ध्यायन्त उपासते तेषामहं समुद्धर्ता मृत्युसंसारसागरात् भवामि न चिरात् पार्थ मय्यावेशितचेतसाम्। Till now, until the seventh verse we have seen, first two verse presents the question of Arjuna asking, who are the exalted of the meditators? Saguna Brahma Upasakas, people who worship Bhagavan as an embodiment of the universe. Bhagavan in the form of the universe. Our universe is an embodiment of Bhagavan, or who meditate upon Bhagavan as very truth of the universe as their own swarupam. So Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha or Saguna Brahma Upasakaha, who are these exalted, was the question from Arjuna. And Bhagavan said, these upasana, upasakas are of different levels. Saguna Brahma Upasakaha is the one very dear to Bhagavan, dearest to Bhagavan, because he does not see Bhagavan in a given form. He sees the whole cosmos as Bhagavan. Therefore, he understands Bhagavan as the universal natural law and order. Thereby has great reverence for every other life, everything in the world. Therefore, the one who sees the whole cosmos as Bhagavan, everything as Bhagavan, definitely is dearest to Bhagavan. Whereas, the one who sees Bhagavan as the very truth, essential nature of everything, thereby recognizes that essential nature of everything, the entire universe, as one's own swarupam, thereby sees one's own self being identical with Bhagavan, one with Bhagavan, is the Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha, and in fact he attains Bhagavan. He attains Bhagavan in terms of knowledge. By saying, giving this answer in second, third and fourth verses, so he talks about Saguna Brahma Upasaka in the second verse. Then he talks about this Nirguna Brahma Upasaka in the third verse. Now also the qualifications required on the part of a Nirguna Brahma Upasaka in the fourth verse. Krishna makes it very clear that both are of devotees of different levels. And Saguna Brahma Upasanam serves as a preparatory ground for the one to become a Nirguna Brahma Upasaka. A Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is the culmination of practicing all other disciplines. A Nirguna Brahma Upasanam alone will result in the assimilation of the truth. Therefore, there's no comparison between these two upasakas, two disciplines also. Therefore, there's no choice also between them. Both are important, that Krishna made very clear in his second, third, and fourth verses. Then Krishna continued in the fifth verse, he made very clear. This Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is actually constantly dwelling upon one's own swarupam, which is not available for objectification, which is not perceptible, which is not conceivable, and which is not even describable. Therefore, dwelling upon such abstract reality, nature, involves tremendous amount of preparation. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for an ordinary person who is not qualified for this contemplation, who does not have contemplative disposition of the mind. So he says, avyakta asakta chetasam adhikaha adhikataraha kleshaha. And also, for the people who are strong identity, dehabhimana, who are still firmly attached to people and situations and things associated with one's body, is very difficult to involve oneself in this contemplation. Therefore, for such people, and he goes from the highest to the, first he starts with the highest level of the bhakti. What is the highest level of devotion? If you say, the exalted form of devotion is seeing oneself being identical with Bhagavan, which is possible only in contemplation. If that is not practical, not possible, then he prescribes, then one can go back to the next level, which is Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam or Vishwarupa Ishvara Upasanam. He prescribes in the 6th and the 7th verses. And he mentions, for such people who see Bhagavan as everything or everything as Bhagavan, and for such people, Bhagavan himself will help them accomplish moksha by contributing for the preparation required for contemplation. It means through Shravanam Manamani, they'll become prepared for Shravanam Manamani Dhyasanam. Thereby, they'll attain moksha. That is, Bhagavan mentions in the 6th and 7th verses. Then, from the 8th verse onwards, we'll go to the next verse, 8th verse.
Mayeva mana adhatsva. Mayeva mana adhatsva. Mayi buddhim niveshaya, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, nivasishyasi mayeva, అతవూర్ధ్వం న సంశయః
మయ్యేవ మన ఆధత్స్వ
మయి బుద్ధిం నివేశయ నివసిష్యసి మయ్యేవ అతవూర్ధ్వం న సంశయః మయ్యేవ మన ఆధత్స్వ
మయి బుద్ధిం నివేశయ
నివసిష్యసి మయ్యేవ అతవూర్ధ్వం న సంశయః
So verses 3, 4 and 5, he discusses Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Then 6th, 7th and 8th, in these three verses, he prescribes Saguna Brahma Upasanam as a next alternative. Next means for those who are not qualified for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, which means Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is also bhakti. Saguna Brahma Upasanam also is bhakti. That's what you need to understand here. So, Krishna introduces bhakti in terms of Saguna Brahma Upasanam for those who are not qualified for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. In this 6, 7 and 8. So, 8th verse he says, what is Saguna Brahma Upasanam? He makes it again very clear. Seeing the whole cosmos is an embodiment of Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. Okay. You're not simply seeing it. Once a person has a clear understanding because of the exposure to the Shastram, our understanding of the fact what Bhagavan is the intelligent and the material cause of the universe. Therefore, the cause effect is non-separate from the cause. Therefore, cause alone appears in the form of the effect. Therefore, Bhagavan being the Nimitta Upadana Karanams of the universe, the whole universe is what? Bhagavan. Bhagavan alone is in the form of the universe. If that fact is clear, then naturally one has to learn to shift one's dependence from the world, the people, the situations, the fruits of actions and actions, relationships to Bhagavan for one's happiness and security. The shifting one's dependence from the world to Bhagavan, because instead of depending on the effects for one's happiness and security, one can depend upon the very cause which alone lends existence to the effects. That is what? Shifting one's dependence from the world to Bhagavan. Even though the whole world is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not the world. Bhagavan is the truth of the world, cause of the world. Therefore, instead of depending on the dependent world for happiness and security, it is better to depend upon Bhagavan, depending on which the whole world exists. And that shifting one's dependence from the world to Bhagavan, effect to the cause, itself is what? Saguna Brahma Upasanam. That's called actually Mayeva Mana Adhatsva. When Krishna says, Mayi. Eva manaha adhatsva. May you placing one's mind in Bhagavan. Placing one's mind in Bhagavan means depending upon Bhagavan for one's security and happiness. Emotionally. Emotionally, what are you dependent on? It is very natural for us to be dependent on the world. But our emotionally, we cannot be, we're not emotionally independent. Emotional independence is only when you become self-dependent. What is possible only in jnana, only in the clear doubt, assimilated knowledge. Until then, emotional dependence is very natural, but which means remembering the fact, everything in this world is impermanent. Therefore, impermanent, time-bound things cannot give me everlasting happiness. And Bhagavan, the source of everything, is the only source of happiness and security. Thereby, dependent on Bhagavan, shifting one's dependence on Bhagavan, depends from the world to Bhagavan, is what? Mayeva mana adhatsva. Placing one's mind in Bhagavan means emotionally being dependent on Bhagavan, which means you are not dependent on the world for happiness, security anymore. Relationships. We may have children, we may have family, we may have husband, we may have wife, we may have friends and relatives, we may have wealth, we may have associations and contacts and influence, everything. But 100% make sure we can give love, care, warmth and concern, but we should not be dependent on the world for anything. So give everything, whatever you can give the world, but to receive, you be dependent on the Bhagavan. Okay, if you don't be dependent on the world for your happiness, and live your care, live your love, you live your concern, you be there, show all affection to the world around you. You give love to others if possible. You give whatever you can give to the world. But don't, of course, not with the intention I am giving. Okay? At the same time, when you need anything, definitely don't be disappointed. It can be children or husband or wife or family or friends and relationship, any relationship, including the teacher-student relationship, be dependent on only Bhagavan. That is called what now? Mayeva mana adatsva. Mayeva manaha adatsva. The world can never give you what you want. Cannot give you what you want. Because that is the fact. Therefore, then mayi buddhim niveshaya. Buddhihi niveshaya means what now? Manaha niveshaya. Manaha adatsva buddhim niveshaya. Buddhim niveshaya means being convinced, having the conviction in one's mind, having conviction in one's understanding, not having any doubt about the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. There is no God, there is no Ishvara, there is no Lord other than the reality. And that reality, we do not know what it is. And that reality is the intelligent cause and the material cause of the universe. Therefore, Ishwaraha Bhagavan is the Nimitta Upadana Karanam of the universe. And the whole universe is Bhagavan. The whole universe is Bhagavan. Everything here is Bhagavan. And this is a fact about Bhagavan. And here we should not have any doubt. It's called having this conviction about Bhagavan being the whole. Having the conviction about Bhagavan being the whole is called what? Having one's intellect placed in Bhagavan. Buddhi niveshanam, mano niveshanam, mana adhanam. Manasaha adhanam, buddhehe niveshanam. Had to understand. Placing one's mind in Bhagavan means being dependent on Bhagavan emotionally for one's happiness and security. And buddhehe niveshanam, placing one's intellect in Bhagavan means being convinced of the fact of Bhagavan being the whole as the material intelligent cause of the universe. It's called placing the intellect, placing the mind means what? they actually, we have only one antahkaranam. Why do we, which means not having any doubts in your intellect. Not having any doubts in the intellect that Bhagavan is the whole. The cause of the universe is Bhagavan, therefore Bhagavan is the whole. Which means having conviction in one's mind, doubtless conviction in one's intellect, one's mind, is called placing one's intellect in Bhagavan. Being convinced of the fact of Bhagavan being the cause of the universe, there will be Bhagavan being the whole. This must be definitely there. Once if this is there, and whatever you do, you are living a life of dharma, you are committed to live a life of dharma, and all you have, you are entertaining the attitude of offering all actions to Bhagavan. You look at every accomplishment, every achievement as Bhagavan's gift. Then you are dependent on Bhagavan for happiness and security. You are not, you do understand the limitations of the world. You're not dependent on the world for happiness and security. And you're convinced of the fact that all that is there is only Bhagavan. This is a fact about Bhagavan. This concept of Bhagavan is very clear for you. Therefore, Bhagavan is in the form of universal natural law and order. Thereby, Bhagavan is the whole. This concept of Bhagavan, this fact about Bhagavan must be very clear, that without any doubts, that's called being convinced about this fact is called what? Buddhi Niveshanam. Placing the Buddhi. Arjuna Krishna uses two words. Manaha Adatsva Buddhim Niveshaya. Place your mind in me and place your intellect in me. What does it mean? Placing one's intellect in Bhagavan means what? Placing one's intellect in Bhagavan means being convinced of the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. Because Bhagavan is the intelligent and nimitta upadana karanam of the universe. Once this is very clear, then Bhagavan says what? My God, there's no fraction of second you're away from Bhagavan. There's no situation you are not bringing Bhagavan into your life. Your life is filled with Bhagavan. Therefore, you are close to Bhagavan. You are living your life in harmony with Bhagavan, the whole, the order. Therefore, Bhagavan says, my atta, thereafter, urdhvam, atta urdhvam, thereafter. Once you're emotionally dependent on me, not on the world, once you're convinced of the fact of myself being the whole, then your attitude towards the whole life, everything in your life is prasada. Everything you do is for offered to Bhagavan. And all that is there is only Bhagavan. There's a reverence and respect and dharma. Then naturally, thereafter, mayeva nivasishyasi. You will ever remain one with me. You will remain in me. You will not be away from Bhagavan. Mayeva nivasishyasi. So living, going through one's life with this attitude, placing one's mind in Bhagavan, the intellect with the conviction of Bhagavan being the whole, naturally, in due course of time, will contribute for the preparedness required for Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Thereby, one will be blessed with the knowledge and clear vision, they will not attain moksha. Then one will ever remain in Bhagavan. You will never be away from Bhagavan. Mayeva nivasishyasi. Krishna says, you will ever live in me. You will never go away from me. Therefore, in the 6, 7 and 8, na samshayaha. What a promise Bhagavan makes. Na samshayaha. No doubt at all. Na samshayaha. No doubt. There's no doubt at all. What? Urdhvam thereafter. Tata urdhvam thereafter. Nayi mayeva nivasishyasi. Where will you go? Where can you go? Where are you? Where are you? You will live in me. You will reside in me. You will be with me. Which means Saguna Brahma Upasanam will take care of the preparation itself, will lead you to next step, the highest level of Bhakti Yoga, highest level of Bhakti. Bhakti in the form of Saguna Brahma or Saguna Ishvara, Vishwarupa Ishvara Upasanam will lead you to the next level of Bhakti in the form of Jnana Yogaha. And what is Jnana Yogaha? Jnana Yogaha is also called Akshara Yogaha in the 12th chapter. Akshara Yogaha means inquiry into the nature of the reality. Aksharam means imperishable reality. And the inquiry into the nature of the reality is called, pursuit of knowledge is called Jnana Yogaha. Jnana Yogaha in 12th chapter is called Akshara Yogaha. So Akshara Yogaha involves what? Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. When you are doing Shravanam, you are inquiring into the nature of the reality, not as an object, but as your own Swarupam. And this inquiry into the nature of the reality is further clarified through Mananam. And the same inquiry into the nature of the reality in terms of Nididhyasanam also what? Again, it is you're convinced. Okay, you not only convinced, you assimilate. You understand, you clarify, then you assimilate. Therefore, it's all you can say. That's why Akshara Yogi, you can say the Akshara Yogaha is another word for Jnana Yogaha, which involves Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. What Krishna wants to say, Bhaktihi should culminate in the assimilated vision of the reality as one's own Swarupam, wherein one does not see Ishvara or the Self, one sees only Brahma, only reality, or one sees oneself being identical with Paramatma, Bhagavan, non-different from Bhagavan, and that is moksha. And until that is the highest culmination of devotion, and which presupposes going through the final level of devotion in terms of Akshara Yogaha or Jnana Yogaha, going through the Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Without Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, definitely no, the Bhakti is not complete. Bhakti will be incomplete. But Saguna Brahma Upasanam will prepare you for next level, that definitely without fail. Thereby one will have the vision, one will ever remain in Bhagavan. That is said in the six, seven and eight. Three verses talk about Saguna Brahma, Vishwarupa, Saguna Brahma Upasanam. So meditation upon Ishvara in the form of the whole universe. Okay, now next. Suppose Vishwarupa Darshanam, that is also very difficult. See, Krishna starts from the highest level and takes you to the next, the preceding level. The level one, okay, next. If Nirguna Brahma Upasam is not possible, okay, not ready, better than what now? Go for Saguna Brahma, Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasam. If that is also difficult, then go for Saguna Brahma, not Vishwarupa Upasanam, Yekarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam. If Vishwarupa Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Vishwarupa Ishvara Dhyanam, meditation upon Ishvara as the whole is difficult, then better meditate upon Ishvara in one given form. Vishwa means Yekarupa Ishvara Dhyanam, you can practice. If that is not possible, he says, But what should you remember? Whichever meditation you do, it will prepare you for the next level, next level, next level. It will stop with Nididhyasanam. Atha chittam samadhatum.
Atha chittam samadhatum.
Nashaknoshi mayisthiram. Nashaknoshi mayisthiram. Abhyasa yogena tato. Abhyasa yogena tato. Mamichaptum dhananjaya.
Mamichaptum dhananjaya.
Atha chittam samadhatum.
Atha chittam samadhatum.
Nashaknoshi mayisthiram.
Nashaknoshi
mayisthiram. Abhyasa yogena tato.
Abhyasa
yogena tato. Mamichaptum dhananjaya.
Mamichaptum dhananjaya.
Atha chittam samadhatum. Atha chittam samadhatum. Nashaknoshi mayisthiram. Nashaknoshi mayisthiram. Abhyasa yogena tato. Abhyasa yogena tato. Mamichaptum dhananjaya. Mamichaptum dhananjaya. Okay. So here, he dhananjaya, atha then, mayi sthiram chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi. If you are not able to place your mind in me, in the one who is in the, me, who in the form of the whole cosmos, if you are not able to dwell upon me, meditate upon me as the whole, then what you can do? Because sometimes it is also difficult. You know why? Why it is difficult? Suppose somebody says, I practice Vishwarupa Ishwara Dhyanam. For the person who practices Vishwarupa Ishwara Dhyanam, means what? Not sitting and practicing every day, closing your eyes. All the time, being able to remember the fact that all that is here is Bhagavan, all that is here is Bhagavan, all that is here is Bhagavan. You don't simply mechanically say everything is Bhagavan. You must be intellectually convinced of the fact how everything is Bhagavan. I'm repeating sentence. It is not simply saying all that is here is Ishvara. The whole Jagat is Ishvara. Jagat is embodiment of Ishvara. No, it is not simply mechanically prattling. It is actually be intellectually being convinced of the fact that everything is Bhagavan. Why? Because there is no intelligent cause, there is no material cause other than the reality which is Bhagavan. Therefore, the whole Jagat is what? Bhagavan. And intellectually, you means you must be convinced how Nimitta Karanam, how Upadana Karanam, therefore, how it is one inseparable reality as are there as both. Therefore, the whole Jagat is that intellectually you must be convinced. The conviction is there, then you, where are you? You see yourself also being non-separate from Bhagavan. Intellectually you are seeing. Cognitively you are appreciating the fact. Therefore, if everything is Bhagavan here, I am also part of Bhagavan here, that there is nothing in the world deserves any hatred, any raga or dvesha. And whatever I go through, everything I go through is ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order, in keeping with what my punya papa, what I deserve. Therefore, nandrum tidum pirartharavara. My pay, whatever I, my, nobody is responsible for my lot. even though somebody comes and stabs at my back also, I have to defend myself, protect myself, no doubt, but still there's no dvesha towards anybody in the heart. If you think, oh, I see everything as Ishvara, but I tell you, I have some people, my God, I hate them. If there's still raga dveshas very strong in you, if raga dveshas are very, very strong in your mind, I tell you, everything is Ishvara, but I hate this person. Everything is Ishvara, you know, but I really, that is there. You have understanding of Ishvara being the whole, but still you are not intellectually convinced. You can say understanding, but conviction is there, means it is not a fact for you. Which means there is no Saguna Brahma, Vishwarupa, Saguna Brahma Upasana is not there. Where there is dvesha, where there is anger, where there is, you know, the hatred, and where there is vengeance, where you feel like hitting and lot of things, still Vishwarupa, Ishvara Upasanam is not there. If you say, I see everything as Bhagavan, means there is no dvesha towards anything. There is no hatred towards anything. If you think anything is wrong, improper, you keep away. But there is no hatred towards those things. There is no ill feeling towards everything, anything. This is Satyam. Therefore, then that is what is what? No, not being that, still having the raga dveshas, still being the victim of the problems of anger, etc. Anger is natural, especially raga dvesha. Anger is okay. Raga dveshas. Strong means, I think the stronger the feeling raga dveshas one has, more crystallized is the ahankara. Therefore, it is not more crystallized is the mind. Therefore, it is not possible for us to focus. Vishwarupa Isha Upasanam is not practical. That person is yet to grow. What should he do then? That's what Krishna says. Chittam samadhatum mayi sthiram na shaknoshi. Continuously, if you are not able to meditate upon me as Vishwarupa, one in the form of the whole cosmos, and what do you do? Abhyasa yogena mam aptum iccha. Then better may you make all possible efforts to reach me, to attain, reach me in terms of knowledge through the practice. Abhyasa yoga means constant practice. But here, what is Abhyasa yoga? It is Eka Rupa Ishvara Upasanam. Abhyasa yoga here means Eka Rupa Ishvara Upasanam. Every day make it a point to meditate upon Ishvara in a given form. It's called Ishta Devata Upasanam. Ishta, whichever deity you like. That is why here also, how you have choice. One, you need carbohydrate, but you can eat bread, you can eat toast, you can eat sandwich, or you can go for pizza, you can go for burger, you can go for idli, dosa, chapati, or tepla, dokla, you can go for so many things. Matti mutti. Okay, you can go for anything else, but here similarly, in our culture, no problem. We have IKEA of a department store, big huge store of murtis. Various forms are there. Subramanya, Ganesha, Shiva, Devi, Vishnu. Any form you can choose, and you can worship Lord in that form. Pray to that Lord in that form, and then you can meditate upon that form. No, the Lord in that form. The choice, Ishta Devata Upasanam, Eka Rupa Ishvara Upasanam, you know, definitely even there, even though Bhagavan is not the universe, universe is Bhagavan, Similarly, this one you know very well. Even though Ishtarupa Devata Upasam we are doing, Bhagavan is the whole who is not this particular Devata, this small deity in your puja room. But this deity is what? It symbolizes Bhagavan the whole. Ekarupa Ishvara Upasanam. And here one can relate to Bhagavan in any form. Some people like to relate to Bhagavan of a child. They have small little tiny Krishna in the lad, you know, they keep and they keep, and then sometimes people relate to Bhagavan as like a father. You can relate to Bhagavan as a friend. You can relate to Bhagavan as a mother or a father. Whatever emotionally you are needy, you can relate to Bhagavan in that form. Okay, and then you can worship and pray and meditate upon that form. And in fact, Shastras, that is why our Puranas are very, very supportive and helpful. Now, Puranas have come. The Purana Katha, in the Puranas, personify all the subtle teachings of the Upanishads. And then we have the good character, all these things. We listen to the Puranas, Shiva Puranam, Vishnu Puranam, Bhagavata Puranam, Devi Mahatma Puranam. Listen to the Puranas. In the Purana stories, always the Bhagavan, the Devi or Bhagavan is glorified, highly glorified. So Shiva Puranam glorifies Lord Shiva as the exalted God. Vishnu Puranam glorifies Vishnu as the exalted Bhagavan. You know, in different Puranas, different deities are highly glorified. When listen to the glories of Bhagavan, repeatedly listening, repeatedly dwelling upon one given form, what happens? It becomes real. You know, it becomes real. Real means what? It becomes real for you. Repeatedly. It's a psychology. There's a people who listen to Bhagavatam will come and tell me, oh, Krishna came to my house, he ate butter and he slept with me, he danced with me. People come and tell these stories to me. I do remember. And I told you once also, there was one mommy somewhere near Kutralam. And she was such a pious woman. She never learned Vedanta, but her devotion to Krishna was so. She used to listen to Bhagavata Katha all the time. Bhagavatam. She listen. Repeat, she was used to Bhagavata Katha. Now what happened? And she used to tell people, oh, Krishna came. He ate with me. He was playing here. I saw him. He was around here. Only now he just disappeared. People thought she was mad. You know why? The what you dwell upon repeatedly will become real. Not for others. It's a subjective reality. Just as your dream is real for you, you can have subjectively, it's not absolutely real. Subjectively real experiences you can have. Like a dream. And then the children used to go near, she used to go to her house and she used to tell them the stories. And even the children also started talking about the same way. Then people were scared. They started sending children to her house. Then Kanchipaya once went by that way. And Kanchipaya was said, she's such a pious lady. Don't be scared. Please send the children to her house. It's good to send them there. Even though it is not absolutely real. It is not moksha for you. Okay, we had to know the limitation of it. But this is possible. Okay, so people come and tell me, oh, Krishna, Bhagavan came in my dream. It happens even now. A lot of Baba devotees will tell me, Baba came into my mind. It's true. It is subjective reality. It is not objectively real. It is not absolutely real. It is some experiences are possible for such people. Because it's all mind, okay? It's a mind's play. Psychology. So, Ekarupa Upasanam, if it's very serious, it can give you such experience also, but you will not get stuck there. If it is properly done, understood, you will not get stuck with such things. Which means the Puranas, that is why listening to Puranas will help you, the more and more and more you listen to Leelas of Bhagavan, how Bhagavan is extremely brilliant and how extremely powerful and how he is miraculous, and then still listening to all this, Krishna's miracle stories, Oh my God, one little boy goes and dances on Kaliya, the snake. Even going near snake we will be scared. And he goes near the snake and stands on the Kaliya, and then he's dancing. That is with the rhythmic dance. So it's all, when you see, naturally you develop some sort of, oh, Bhagwan is the only, exactly psychology worked. That is how in the big organizations, the so-called cults also become powerful because of this, the heroes, the swamis or gurus. And because of miracles, the more people go, the more people have faith in it. Then more people go there again. The more people go, the more they believe, the crowd again contributes for bringing more, adds to more crowd going there. It's all really psychological play. Anyway, I don't want to go into that, those things. But what I want to say, how Puranas have come into the picture mainly to help people to understand glories of Bhagavan, and repeat Bhagavata Katha Shravanam itself is meditation for you. The whole Leela you listen, it's a Ekarup Upasam. Krishna, 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 Krishna dance there, Krishna ate there, Krishna dance there. All about Krishna. Like that, Ekarupa Upasanam is mainly prescribed for those who cannot still manage one's ragadveshas. See, you must, for Vishwarupa Ishwara Dhyanam, you must be able to handle your ragadveshas. Otherwise, Vishwarupa Ishwara Dhyanam is a humbug. It's not real. Okay, Krishna says, Abhyasa yogena tataha mam aptum iccha dhananjaya. May you attain me in terms of knowledge by practicing this Ishta Devata Ekarupa Ishwara Upasanam, where you can relate to Bhagwan, in whichever form you want to, like a mother or father or friend or child, etc. Okay. And this practice, even Ekarupa Ishwara Upasanam, in due course of time will prepare your mind, will contribute for, prepare your mind for the next level. Finally, it will help you, what at least you are with Bhagavan. Slowly, it will contribute for mental expansion, mental steadiness, mental purity. That's why japam. People say, do japam. Why japa? It's all for to manage your emotions. Because mind is so restless. So the impurities are so strong. Therefore, you need, upasana will help. So, abhyase pyasamarthosi mat karma paramo bhava madarthamapi karmani kurvan siddhima vapsyasi. So, now next sentence is, now ekarupa isharupasanam will help. Next level, isn't it? Now, from ekarupa upasana purum, before that, suppose people are highly rajasic, highly restless, predominantly rajasic in nature, very restless, agitated people who cannot sit even for a short time. For such people, leave alone Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, Vishwarupa Ishwara Dhyanam, Ekarupa Ishwara Dhyanam. Even dhyanam, even japa, people cannot do. So come and tell me, Swamiji, when you sit and do japam, that is why if you go to any traditional acharya, whether it's a Sringeri acharya, Kanchi acharya, any traditional proper acharyas if you go to, they will not ask you to do contemplation or meditation. They will only ask you to do mantra japa. And they'll say, try to do mantra japa softly. Without screaming, softly do mantra japa. And slowly stop chanting orally and start doing mentally. it is very difficult for people to do mantra japa even mentally. They need to open their mouth and say the mantra japa. They have to do that. Some children know when they study, they cannot read, study the lessons mentally. They have to read out. I had a problem when I was very young. When I was reading, preparing for my exams, all next door neighbors, and they all can hear, listen to what I was studying. They could listen. I had a problem. When I was very, very young, I'm talking about third and fourth standard like that. Once you grow older and older, and how you yourself change. Now you don't read out loud. Read out. You just keep a book and you read quietly. Isn't it? This habit comes. It's also because only when you read, shout, then you can focus. If you don't read out loudly, if you read mentally, you can't focus. Some people have the problem because of restless nature. In the same way, if people are also very rajasic in the nature, very restless, and it is not, so it's not a problem. That is how the mind is. The whole being is made, makeup is like that. So you don't need to feel bad about it. So that is why Shastram is the Shruti Mata. Why we call her Shruti Mata? Oh, this child has this deficiency. She needs this medication, this food. This child has this deficiency. She needs more of fruits. She needs to eat more fruits and she needs to eat more. He needs to drink more milk. She needs to eat more food. Like a mother knows. In the same way, this Shruti also knows. Okay, this person still has to grow. Very healthy. He has become very healthy. So absolute health is in jnanam. The health has to be improved. Mental health has to be improved. It is not a problem, isn't it? That is why, what is the best thing now? For a rajasic person who cannot even sit, even if you sit, even to do Omashwaya mantra japa, if I do 8 times, I want to sit 27 times without taking my attention away from the mantra. You sit there, 5th time, 6th time, mind does not remain in the mantra, mind goes away. And again, you have to bring the mind back. Isn't it? That is why in Ashtanga Yoga, this technique is taught. Placing the attention of the mind in the object of meditation is dharanam. Once you have placed the attention in the object of meditation and you try to retain the mind, but in spite of your effort, the attention will move away from the object. Suppose you are saying Om Namo Narayanaya mantra. Mind is there. And you say once, twice, three times, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, mind goes somewhere. And when the mind goes, you are aware of your mind going away from the mantra. Immediately you try to bring attention back to the mantra. Sometimes people will fall asleep. Our mind will go asleep and then see they're simply sitting in meditation, they'll be somewhere in something else. These things will happen. So bring the mind again back to the mantra. That's called mana dhyanam. So dharanam. Dhyanam. Then once you are able to remain focused, absorbed in the object of meditation, by repeated practice of dhyanam, it's called what? Samadhi. Even though absorption is there, in absorption what happens? I am the meditator, is object of meditation, that is I am in the process of meditation. That difference is there, it's called Savikalpaka Samadhi. In the again repeated by because of the repeated practice, when I am the meditator, that also is you forget yourself being the meditator, and the process of meditation also is forgotten. Just the object of meditation alone is there, and absorption in the object of meditation to the extent of forgetting the process of meditation and the oneself being meditator is called Nirvikalpaka Samadhi. So Shastram in Ashtanga Yoga, this method is taught. But here what Krishna says, but even though this is because the moksha is the goal, jnanam is the only means, jnanam is moksha, and the knowledge of reality is in that Bhagavad Sakshatkara. There is no other way of discovering Bhagavan other than discovering reality as one's own Swarupam. One, a person who understands through his exposure or her exposure to the Shastra study, definitely when he follows the Shastra's, you know, the methodology, then naturally, what is the best thing for me? What is the best thing I should do now? I'm so restless, agitated, I cannot sit and then even focusing, even simple puja you cannot do. So upasanam means a purely a mental activity. Upasanam does not involve a physical body or a sense organs or even the speech. Upasanam is purely a mental activity. So even ekarupa upasanam, for me to sit and quietly pray mentally, relate to Bhagavan mentally praying, mentally worshipping, mentally think out the form. I'm not able to do anything mentally. I can't sit quietly like that. Which means that implies what? One being highly rajasic and restless. Such people, Bhagavan prescribes what now? Next upasana, next form of bhakti. So bhakti in the form of nishkama karma upasanam. Nishkama karma anushtanam. Nishkama karma anushtanam. Nishkama karma anushtanam as yoga, karma yoga. So, wherein you physically exert yourself, one can exert, physically work, orally speak, but still all one's activities are for the well-being of the society around. So, Naraseva, Narayana Seva, Manushya Seva, Madhava Seva, Bhagavat Seva, Bhagavata Seva, Bhagavata Seva, Bhagavat Seva. So, people say all these words, isn't it? Therefore, serving, service to the society, fellow beings. So, in terms of following Panchamaha Yajnas, etc., are prescribed, implied in the 10th verse. So, 9th verse, Krishna, 9th in Krishna implies Ekarupa Vishwaru, Ekarupa Ishwara Upasanam. The 10th verse, Krishna mentioned Nishkama Karma Anushtanam as yoga, as a discipline. It's a karma yoga. The karma yoga.
Abhyasepyasamarthosi Matkarma Paramo Bhava Abhyasepyasamarthosi Matkarma Paramo Bhava Matkarma Paramo Bhava Madartham Api Karmani Kurvan Siddhim Avapsyasi
Okay.
Abhyasepyasamarthosi Matkarma Paramo Bhava Madartham Api Karmani Kurvan Siddhim Avapsyasi
So, abhyase api asamartaha asi. That is why when you study Shastram, you can understand the role of every religious activity. Now you can understand why in the temples they organize katha kalakshepa. You will not be able to sit and do anything. At least go to the temple and sit in front of some upanyasaka, and he will be doing some katha kalakshepa. That is for whom? For people who are highly contemplative, it may be difficult to go and sit and listen to this shastra stories. But there are people who will enjoy listening to the stories. And Bhagavan's glories, what all they explain? Katha kalakshepaha means pausing one's time, listening to the stories revealing the glories of Bhagavan. Kalakshepaha means pausing one's time. Time pausing, not chit-chatting, not kitty-partying. So here, this kalakshepa, how we pass the time, is all for old people. Young people, no kalakshepa, no time. Where is this? They don't have enough time to do things. They want more time. They want 48 hours a day, 64 hours a day they want. 24 hours a day are not enough. Because they have party, they have to go to bed only at 1 o'clock in the night. So there's no time. They want more, much longer days. It is for the old people who have nothing much to do. They need not look after children. You need not do anything else. You need not worry about husband. You need not worry about wives. So such people, the old people, they don't know how to kill their time. They are not mentally also prepared for upasanams. Therefore, katha kalakshepaha, time pausing, pausing one's time, by listening to the stories revealing the glories of Bhagavan. We used to have it in Indian temples. And of course, in Sri Lanka also, of course, we must have had those stories. Now, what I want to say, that becomes listening to the stories itself is a sort of upasanam. Ekarupa Ishvara upasanam. Then here, if that is also not possible, some people cannot even listen, cannot even sit. And sometimes I ask some people, they watch television. It happens for me also. The serial will be going on. And my people whom I'm living with, if they are watching television, I happen to watch sometimes. But my mind is completely absent. They ask me, did you see what happened? What happened? They ask me afterwards. I said, I don't know. Because my mind is completely absent there. Because I was not interested in those things. These things happen. The same way here, even people when they're not able to focus also, they may be distracted. For such people, there's the 10th verse, Krishna prescribes karma yoga. One level of karma yoga. What is that? Nishkama karma anushtanam as a discipline, as yoga, preparatory discipline. Is abhyase asamarthaha, abhyase api asamarthaha asi. Chet, if you are inefficient, incapable, if you are not competent, if you are not qualified to practice even this ekarupa Ishvara upasanam, ekarupa Ishvara dhyanam, you are not able to do, you're not able to sit at all, then what you do, the best thing is, hey Arjuna, mat karma paramaha bhava. Mat karma paramaha bhava. So may you have Ishvara arpana bhavana. Mat karma paramaha means having Ishvara bhavana. Ishvara arpana bhavana. Ishvara Arpana Bhavana means what here? Whatever I do it as an offering to Bhagavan. Not forgetting the fact, I am living this life ultimately for discovering Bhagavan Sorupam as my own Sorupam. Bhagavan as my Sorupam. And to prepare my mind for that vision, I'm living this life, I'm doing all these actions for living my life, ultimately for discovering Bhagavan. If this is not forgotten, if we don't need to do anything forgotten, whatever you do, become offered to Bhagavan. It's called performance of actions with as an offering to Bhagavan. Performing actions as an offering to Bhagavan. Then not only that, and whatever I do, I do not think only of my happiness, my family's happiness, my people around me, their happiness. I think of the world around me. Therefore, I am very conscious of following Panchamaha Yajnas. I consciously, try not to hurt, to do something. So, Deva Yajna, Pitru Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, Manushya Yajna. Therefore, I am very conscious of following the Dharma. Therefore, my activities definitely contribute for some form or the other, the social welfare. Contribute for the social welfare. Society, I'm socially aware. Having social awareness, understand the importance of the peace and happiness of people around, living one's life to the extent possible. You can't go out of the way to do everything, to wipe the sorrow in the whole world. Okay, again, ahankara that is. At least now, being able to be useful for fellow human beings, so having being socially aware of these things and doing things for the well-being of society also. And whatever you do, do it with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan is called what now? Mat karma paramaha. In this manner, madartham karmani kurvan. Performing all one's actions for the social well-being, also for one's own welfare, in conformity with Dharma, as an offering to Bhagavan, thereby also, even these actions serve as a preparatory disciplines. In due course of time, they will help one to prepare oneself for Jnana Yoga. So living a life of Karma Yoga is emphasized in this 10th verse. Madartham Karma Kuru, Madartham Karma Kurvan, Madartham Karmani Kurvan, Mat Karma Paramaha. Definitely one Siddhim Avapsyasi. See, Krishna promises Siddhim avapsyasi, you will attain success in terms of moksha. According to Shastram, the real success, absolute success, is in discovering freedom as one's own swarupam. That is the absolute success. And any other success in life, only relative success. And here Krishna says, definitely you will discover moksha, you will attain moksha. How? You will have the assimilated vision of the reality as your own swarupam. You will have Bhagavad Sakshatkara. How? Through Shravanam and Mananam. How? By becoming qualified for the Shravanam Manana. How will you become qualified for Shravanam and Shravanam? Mananam Nididhyasanam? By becoming qualified. How will you become qualified? Just by living your life of Karma Yoga. Living a life of Karma Yoga means what? I'm consciously living. You are prayerful. You are worshipful. You're conscious of doing your actions in conformity with Dharma. And you seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of Dharma. And whatever you are doing, all your actions become offered to Bhagavan. If you do not forget this fact, I am living this life ultimately to discover Bhagavan as my swarupam. Bhagavan is your goal. Having Bhagavan as your ultimate goal and all other karma palani as your relative ends, you live your life or you perform actions for the sake of Bhagavan. And that becomes what? That becomes a yoga. Krishna says that in 10th verse. Thereafter, he says, oh, even that is very difficult for you. My God, even Karma Yoga level 1, okay, even that is difficult for you. Then what you can do? No, I cannot offer all. I cannot remember Bhagavan as my goal. I can't remember all the time. No, I can't think of the social well-being. I can only think of my welfare, my interest. Why I think of my family, my children, their education, they're getting married, they're getting job, they're settling in life. Okay, I can't think of society around me. My I have biggest responsibility of doing my own duties as a mother or a husband or a wife, as a father. I had to look into my business, stabilize my wealth for my children, you know, their education, their marriage, my grandchildren, something. It's very difficult for one. How can I think of the society around when I have not done my own duties for my own family? If that comes, then Bhagavan says, doesn't matter. Then you, whatever you do, whatever you achieve in your life, take that achievement as Bhagavan's gift. All your karma palani. Don't take the fruits of, the results of your actions as your accomplishment. Look at them as gift from Bhagavan. This is what now. Then, so do everything. Now, it's not nishkama karma anushtanam as karma yoga, as yoga. It is sakama karma anushtanam as yoga. Sakama karma anushtanam as yoga. Next verse. Athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madyogam ashritah. Sarva karma phalatyagam. Sarva karma phalatyagam. Tatah kuruyat atmavan. Tatah kuruyat atmavan. Athaitadapyashaktosi.
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 Kartum madyogam ashritah.
Kartum madyogam ashritah.
Sarva karma phalatyagam.
Sarva karma phalatyagam.
Tatah kuruyat atmavan. See, whether you do your activities for fulfilling your desires or whether you perform activities, of course, for the fulfillment of your desires, but which also contribute for the social well-being. Isn't it? Whether it's a social, well, you do the performance of an activity itself is for the fulfillment of one's desire. Whether you do, say, I want to do something good for society is also desire. Isn't it? Desire for the welfare of the society. Desire for the well-being and the welfare of one's own family, kith and kin relatives, community. Both are desires only. But still, when my activities produce result which contribute for the happiness and well-being of the maximum number of people, maximum number of people enjoy the benefit of results of my actions, it is nishkama karma upasana. If very few people enjoy the benefit of my activities, it is a sakama karma upasana. Definitely the number of people less means what? Who do you think the number of people few? First, my family. My own family. Is it? Then my relatives. Then my friends. Then my, like that. So, nishkama karma upasana. So, nishkama karma upasana. Or karma anushtanam. Nishkama karma anushtanam. Sakama karma anushtanam. What does that mean? Karma anushtanam is performance of actions for fulfilling the desires. But any performance of action, activity is for fulfilling one's desire only. But the results of actions really contribute for the maximum number of people. Well, for the well-being of maximum number of people, the majority of the society, then it is more people benefit, more it is nishkama. Isn't it? So he, at least you cannot do big wonders for the society's well-being. But no, I can take care of my own family first. Even then, you will achieve, you can attain. But how should you do? Krishna says in this, God, Sakama Karma Anushtanam as Yoga. No. 10th verse discusses Nishkama Karma Anushtanam as Yoga. And 11th verse discusses Sakama Karma Anushtanam as Yoga, which means verses 10 and 11 discuss Karma Yoga as a preparatory discipline. Pre-preparatory discipline for Upasana Yoga. And in the 9th verse, Ekarupa Ishvara Dhyanam as a preparatory discipline for Vishwarupa Ishvara Dhyanam. And Vishwarupa Ishvara Dhyanam is prescribed as a preparatory discipline for the Jnana Yoga, as called Akshara Yoga, involving Shravanam, Mananam and Nidhyasana. It says, Atha, then, Yetadapi Ashaktaha Asi. If you are incapable of even following this discipline, which discipline? The discipline of performing actions. Performing actions as an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan or for the well-being of the society. Not only for the other fellow beings, also for the all the living beings also. Then, Madhyogam Kartum Ashritaha. Madhyogam Kartum Ashritaha. Sarva Karma Palatyagam. Sarva Karma Palatyagam Tataha Kuru. Yatatmavan. Yatatmavan means having mastery over your ways of thinking. At least being committed to live a life of dharma. No? Yatatmavan means what? Having mastery over one's thoughts. One who has mastery over one's mind is called Yatatmavan. Yataha Atma Yasya. The one whose mind is within one's mastery is called Yatatmavan. Having mastery over one's mind means having mastery over one's own ways of thinking, one's own thoughts. Having mastery over one's own thoughts means having mastery over one's ragadvishas, likes and dislikes. Having mastery over one's likes and dislikes means being conscious of not transgressing dharma. Whatever likes and dislikes they rise in my mind, I do not have say over my own likes and dislikes. Whatever are there underneath in subconscious, they rise. The external situations and people become instrumental for triggering those also. But when the question of behavior comes, action comes, I do what is appropriate and what is right. I refrain myself from the activities which are wrong. I do the right actions. I refrain myself from the wrong actions, which means my behavior, my activities, what I do are not governed by my knowledge of right and wrong, but governed by my personal likes and dislikes. But they're governed by my knowledge of right and wrong. Okay, this involves effort. Even karma yoga is not easy. Okay, see where you are. my behavior, my actions, I may not like to do certain things, but if they're right, appropriate, even I don't like it, I should do. Sometimes I may like to do which is wrong, I know, then definitely I should refrain from the wrong. Which means my behavior, my actions are not completely, not governed by my personal likes and dislikes, but they are governed by my knowledge of right and wrong. This is called what? Having, then you have mastery over your mind. It's called what? Shamaha. So having shamaha, you can't help. You have to make all possible efforts to practice shamaha. Okay, following this discipline of shamaha, when we do your actions and whatever you do, everything for your well-being, for your family, no problem. But whatever achieve results come in your life, and don't boast that you are the author of those results. And understand all those results, what are ordained by Bhagavan in the form of natural law and order. Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. Therefore, they're all, Bhagavan is the karma phala data. Aham karma karta, Bhagavan is karma phala data. Therefore, all results are ordained by Bhagavan of natural laws alone determine the results of actions. Therefore, all results are law ordained results or Lord ordained results. I look at them as Bhagavan's prasada. Therefore, Bhagavan's gift means all results are what now? Of results are Bhagavan's gifts. This is what now? Ishvara Prasada Bhavanaya, Ishvara Prasada Bhavanaya Palaswikaranam. So Ishvara Arpana Bhavanaya Karma Anushtanam, Ishvara Prasada Bhavanaya Palaswikaranam. And not only that, here, not you could everything as a, and also when you perform the results also, you are not attached to the fruits of actions. You perform the action for the results, expecting the results, with the preparedness to accept the results. See, you perform the actions for the results, expecting the results, but with the preparedness to accept the results as Bhagavan's prasadam. At the same time, you are not dependent on the results of actions for your happiness and security. Yeah. Perform the actions expecting the results. For the results, with the preparedness to accept any result as Bhagavan's prasada, gift. But without being attached to the results. That means without being dependent on results of actions for your happiness and security. When you perform your actions, understand, then you have offered all the results also for Bhagavan. It's called karma phalatyagaha. Karma phalatyagaha implies what? Not only seeing the results as Bhagavan's prasadam, whatever comes is prasadam. And there's already preparedness to accept anything as prasadam because everything is ordained by Bhagavan because you deserve it. And you are not dependent on the results of actions, for happiness or security. Which means you are not attached to the fruits of actions. See, expecting the results, for the results, doing things is different from being attached to the results. You think this is going to happen, this will change my whole life. Isn't it? That is called what? Attachment to the results of actions.
phala svikaram is the same as prasad buddhi.
Sanskrit shabd will help you remember things easily. It's called sarva karma phala tyagaha. If you do it, then even this attitude in accepting the results, attitude, you entertain in receiving, accepting all results as Bhagavan's gift, prasada, and you are being independent of the results for your happiness and security. Also, what now? You offer your actions, you offer the results of actions also to Bhagavan. So physically, you cannot offer your actions, nor can you offer the results of actions to Bhagavan. But attitudinally, you can offer your actions and results to Bhagavan. What is that attitude which helps you offer your actions to Bhagavan? And what is that attitude which helps you offer your results of actions to Bhagavan? Is it clear now? And it's called what? Nishkama karma anushtanam as yoga. Nishkama karma anushtanam as yoga. Therefore, Krishna says, Atha yetadapi ashaktahasi, yetad kartumapi ashaktahasi. If you are not able to do this karma, you are not able to follow this discipline, at least you do this now. Karma phalatyagam kuru. How yatatmavan. But what is important in everything, one thing is important, what is emphasized is, see that you have mastery over your ragadveshas. Take care of your ragadveshas. Ragadveshas sometimes will overpower you. They will stop you from what you should be doing. They will make you do what you should not be doing. Therefore, ragadveshas are very natural. But you be conscious of your likes and dislikes. Always see, understand what is right and what is wrong. That knowledge you have, nobody can deny this fact. I have the knowledge of right and wrong. I definitely, you know what is right and what is wrong. That is why we seek Bhagavan's grace by being prayerful. Oh Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. You already have it. So that has to be, you have to remember the knowledge of right and wrong. And see, choose to do the right, refrain from the wrong, whatever your mind says. Okay, which means your actions are governed by dharma, not by your likes and dislikes. Means you have mastery over ragadveshas. Then you are living your life in conformity with dharma. You are not transgressing Bhagavan in the form of dharma. That will help you tap Bhagavan's grace. Your life will be filled with Bhagavan's grace. Is it clear? Therefore, at least you do this. So now, nishkama karma anushtanam as yoga, sakama karma anushtanam as yoga is discussed in the 11th verse. Let us read this and we'll stop here.
Athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madyogamashritah sarva karma phalatyagam tatah kuruyatatmavan sarva karma phalatyagam tatah kuruyatatmavan athaitadapyashaktosi kartum madyogamashritah sarva karma phalatyagam tatah kuruyatatmavan